And I am live. Hey everybody, this is Geneva of whatever. Geneva's Closet Talk Show. Please make sure you like and share this video and subscribe to Geneva's Closet if you haven't already done so right here on YouTube. And you can follow me on Facebook at what? At Geneva's Closet, and you can email me at genevascloset22@gmail.com. Hey everybody, happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. How are you all doing this fabulous, wonderful Thursday? I'm doing just good, people. I'm very excited about this interview today. You all know who we got in here today. We got Mr. Fred Rerun Berry's ex-wives in here. The first one and the last one. They're here today. But before we get into the wives, before we bring them on today, I want to get started by saying who this video is sponsored by. Yes, we have a sponsor for this video. This video is sponsored by the author, Yolanda Adams. She is the author of Twisted Tales of the Heart. And look how this book look. I'm telling people, these books is a little juicy too. I'm just telling you, they're a little juicy. And then she is the author of Conniving Whispers in the Midnight Snow. Look at this one. Oh, and y'all know red is like my favorite color too. Love that one. And then The Mistress Fowl's Dirty Diana, all by Yolanda Adams. And you can find her books on Amazon and Goodreads. They are $12.99. Well, Twisted Tales is $9.99. The ebook is $1.99. That's a really good deal. Conniving Whispers in the Midnight Snow is $12.99. The ebook is $2.99. You better go get that, people. Very juicy book. And The Mistress Fowl's Dirty Diana paperback is $12.99. And the ebook is $2.99. But we are going to get into these books next week, because I'm going to come back and read just a little bit of it for all of my book lovers. But again, these books are sponsored. This video is sponsored by Yolanda Adams, the author of Twisted Tales of the Heart, Conniving Whispers in the Midnight Snow, and The Mistress Fowl's Dirty Diana. But so now we're going to go on. And then if you would like to advertise your business in Geneva's Closet, you can email me at genevascloset22@gmail.com. Again, I had to tell you that, people. Now to get started, we have with us, oh, now you know this lady. You done seen her before. Yeah. You already know who I'm talking about. First of all, let's just get this out. She's a master cosmetologist, for those of you who did not know. And not only is she a master cosmetologist, she is a civil rights activist. She was the sixth wife of Fred Rerun Berry. So let's get into Fred Rerun Berry just before we bring in Essie. So we know that Fred Allen Berry, you know, they call him Rerun. He was on the 70s hit show, What's Happening. You know, he was pop locking and stuff. We loved him on there. And he was born March 19th, 1951 in St. Louis, Missouri, and died October 21st, 2003 in Los Angeles, California. Now, they said that he was married six times to four different wives. That's what I had read. That's what I heard. So we have his first wife here, and she said that she wanted to let it be known, people, that she was the first wife, okay? And I also heard that she's married him twice. She's one of the wives to marry him twice, but we'll find out all about that. Miss Francesca Berry. And then we have Essie Berry, who was the sixth wife, who was married to Fred Berry when he passed away in 2003, making her the widow. So, like I said, not only is she a master cosmetologist, civil rights activist, and then we all know her from dealing with Mary Harvey, and the whole Steve Harvey situation. Yes, we remember her from that. And I'm talking about the lovely, beautiful, and oh so talented Miss Essie Berry. Where's she at? Let me bring her in here. Hey, Miss Berry. We gotta take you off mute. She off mute. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, I just brought Francesca in accidentally. How you doing, Essie?
I'm fine. First of all, I want to thank you for that greeting. I love you for that to death. I'm very honored to be here with the queen herself, you as far as you with us and Miss Francesca. So let me put this out there before we get any further. Y'all see this chain on my neck? What do I say? Queen, I got to take this off. The queen is getting ready to come on. I got to surrender. I got to surrender it, y'all. The true, the number one queen is getting ready to come on this mic. And I'm enough woman to say she is all queen, so I got to surrender it. I'm about to send it to her, y'all. That's the queen right there. This has been an interview, and I'm not even going to say interview, something that is long overdue. So many questions that I wanted to ask, and I couldn't ask. And now this is an honor because Francesca has never done anything like this before in her life. And I feel so honored. So I had to take the chain off, y'all, because the queen getting ready to come on. Bring on, Geneva. I can't even say, bring the queen on. Bring the, you know, hey, let's go.
Yes, we are bringing the queen in. And let me tell you something, people, she looking very lovely today. Just want to throw that out there before we bring her on. We're talking about the very first wife of Frere Ron Berry. And I also heard that she's a dancer and choreographer. We're going to find out more about that. And I'm talking about the lovely and the beautiful Miss Francesca Berry. How you doing, Miss Francesca Berry?
Blessings, beauties, blessings, goddesses on board. I love you. I love you so much. Sis, you know that, Essie. You are my heart. You know you are the reason I am here. Miss Geneva, thank you, goddess, for your support, your love. Essie, I love you so much. You know, I would not be here doing this if it was not for our heartfelt connection and the love and the spirit that we have between us. So I'm so grateful and honored to be here with you. So please know that. And I'm hugging you now. I'm hugging you now, babe. So I'm here for you. And everything that you want to share, let's do it. And blessings to all of the fam that come through, ride with my sister and with Geneva as well. We need your support because we are all we have with both hands. So welcome. And it's so nice to see you. Thank you. Thank you.
Say something. Oh, that was beautiful. Esther, you gonna say something? Go ahead, girl.
Girl, I had to grab my face. I said, girl, now she ain't finna do this because we almost cried last night, y'all, because we saw each other for the first time last night, and it was overwhelming. This beautiful person in front of me, we've had a connection for so many years, but we never physically saw face to face until last night and right now, and that's an honor. And there's so many things that I learned about Francesca, but it was not my story to tell. This is her story. And before we start this, and Geneva asked her any questions, I have to say, you guys, over the years, it's been hard for me to know to be married to a celebrity and to know that sometimes along the ways, the women that help create these men, the women that give this man status, the women that are left behind when they go about their business, you on the road doing whatever, this is this woman. And I had to be honest with myself and say that Francesca was a huge, not huge, Francesca was the reason that Fred Berry, to me, was the man that he was when he got to me, you know, and I saw so many different things, but then when I met Francesca, I knew why he fell in love with her. I knew why he loved her. I knew what she brought to the table, to his everyday life. And I think somewhere along the line, whenever they did separate, he suffered for that tremendously, you know, and at the end it came back to me. So I feel like what God has done now is put this platform together so you can hear the true story, you know, because everybody want to make it, say things, but how do you know if you ain't lived this sister life? And let me put this out there before we get started. If Francesca really wanted to say anything, she could have did it way before now. And there's so many things that I have not shared with people either. We felt like it was a time that we could come together now and be sisters and hold each other's hand. Because yet we're going to spread so much love, laughter, and joy about her husband. There's hurt in there somewhere, you guys. There's other things that transpire. And not all of it's going to be good because life is not good. Life is the hand that we're dealt. But because I am who I am, I chose to come back and find this sister because I needed to know for myself. I had questions that I wanted to ask for myself. So now here we are with this beautiful queen. And again, Francesca, I meant that. You are the queen. You are sitting up here royalty. Things choreographing for Fred, dancing and doing all that. We need to allow queens and sisters to know where we generated from and where we came from with your beautiful beautiful spirit and soul. So let's get this popping now. Look at my girl up there. Let's go. I'm shutting up. I'm gonna cry.
All right, beloved, don't make me cry. You know that. Matters of the heart. And, you know, I was already dancing. I had a full life before Fred Berry. Raised in Los Angeles, born in Houston, Texas, but moved to Los Angeles at the age of 2, 3. I celebrated my third birthday in L.A. So you speak to me, I'm going to tell you I'm from L.A. But my roots are in Houston. My grandmother, my lineage is strong. My grandmommy will be 99 tomorrow. So happy birthday, grandmommy. My lineage, my roots are strong. I have a long time to go. So, you know, I live life to the fullest and am very proud of that. And I say that to say, life is short. And so I've danced the entire time. My life has been dancing. Before Soul Train, I modeled as a preteen model for Foxes and Hares. So I've worked from about the age of 8. And my mother, very strict, but I wouldn't be who I am without my mother. And I love my mom, but my mom was strict. And so the discipline that I have now that I've continued on from that time, dancing, modeling, you name it, in school full-time, just, it was a lot. I grew up in Hancock Park, Beverly Hills region, and my life was good. So it's interesting that the brother chose me. I did not choose him. As if I could say, he actually stalked me, if you will. And he just kept turning up everywhere I was. I was like, why is this dude like everywhere I go, he's there? You know, because I didn't like him. I thought he was all right. But, you know, I had a whole life. I just was into dance. Dance is my steady date. Still, dance has been here my entire life. Doing modern jazz, Afro-Haitian, Brazilian. Love, dance is my love. Dance has never left me, then and now, if I may say. I also honor being feminine. I've always enjoyed being woman in nurturing from the inside and polishing from the inside. It's so important. I see a lot of sisters that apply from the outside and think they're applying beauty from the outside. But actually, I feel that beauty comes and emanates from the inside out. So that's how I was raised. And I still believe that. So that could have been what drew Ping to me. My mom actually got me to Soul Train. But prior to that, it was a lot of the older students from LA High. Okay, LA High in the house, that would come to my house, and they were already getting ready to come to Soul Train, to go to Soul Train, but they didn't know what to do down the Soul Train line, da 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 da. And because I've danced all my life, they would come over and I would teach them the latest dances and what to do and how to swag down that line. And I just knew my time would come, you know. So when it did, it was because of Mr. Chuck Berry, rest his soul, the beloved, the great Mr. Chuck Berry, escorted me to Soul Train. And what a blessing. And notice that here we go with that last name, Chuck Berry. So there's that last name, Berry. I said, okay. And I'm looking into these omens and like, okay, this is a message. And not knowing, being so young, going to Soul Train at about 14, 15, far too young to be on the show. And my mother said, just keep your mouth shut and do what you came to do. And that was dance. But I remember telling Mr. Berry, Mr. Berry, and not knowing his lineage and his greatness, thank you so much. And thank you for bringing me. And, you know, I want to be on the show and I want to be a regular, and I do this and I do that, not knowing who I was speaking to in his greatness. And he was like, okay, little lady, I know you could do it and this and that, and this is your day. And I said, okay. And so I did my thing. And Pam Brown asked me, you know, invited me back again. And it was just my dream. It was my lineage. It was my path. And after that, I was just on the show. And then I guess within maybe about three or four shows, Ping came over and he said something to me. And I just kind of looked at him like, boy, bye. I'm not interested. I had a full life. I'm like, oh, no. And so I loved the Lockers because I loved what they stood for. I loved that they were creative. I loved that they did their own style. I just loved that they were creative in their own way, that they were making their path. And that was my vision, was to create my own as well. But I didn't pay Ping any attention. I always danced under the soul and he danced under the train, because you had the two separate lines. Mine was soul. I was always under the soul. So our paths didn't really cross, but he always somehow seemed to get up in my, you know, my peripheral all the time, but he kept appearing everywhere I was. So that got on my nerves. So I tried to ditch him as much as I could, to be perfectly honest, because my life was full. Modeling, Foxes and Hares, the stage, everything that I was doing, cheerleading, mascot, all of my friends. So it took some time. It took about a year for him to pursue me and stalk me at all the parties, this and that, and before I finally gave him a little bit of time. And he was very, very sweet, because he was very pure at that time. He was very humble. He was striving to fit in. We both were, but we had this unique style together, because I wore baggy clothes and, you know, I was shy. I always had body like I still do now. Hey, hell what? So come on now. So we just had this thing and everybody kind of started just seeing us together. And so we just created a couple kind of vibe. But I kept on my path of being a dancer. And in the light of Judith Jameson, in the light of Katherine Dunham, Donald McHale, Alvin Ailey, dance has been my path. And it was important to me to leave legacy for those that would come up behind me. Being blessed to dance with Paula Kelly came to LA High and acknowledged my dance when I was probably a junior. And so I knew I had something special. I mean, that's all I did was dance. And so I said, okay. So I just stayed on my path. I wasn't really bothered with guys too much. So with Ping coming in, but him being a dancer, that helped him a great deal with me, because he was gifted, because he had weight on him, but he was so limber. He was exceptionally limber. He could stand there and then do a Chinese split and just jump in the air and do a Chinese split. Like, he didn't stretch, he didn't do anything. So he just was magic. And I was like, okay, I see you. So he got on the dance vibe and started saying some names of some artists, some dancers that he would like to emulate. And I said, well, let's create together. Let's evolve together. Let's create a new style. So when he decided to start speaking my language, that's kind of what caught me, is to not do the same thing that everyone was doing. So, you know, that's kind of how it started, kind of, sort of. Yes, beauty. What's my baby? What's my baby sister want?
Queen. So I see so many different face expressions of love with your husband. Your husband. That's your husband, baby.
That's our husband. You tried it.
Your husband.
Our husband.
So he stalked you. He stalked you. So what made you like give in? What was there was it the dance that was the attraction? Was he the attraction? Was his vibe the attraction? Was his conversation the attraction? What made you give in after a year?
I think because he was an outlier and I was an outlier. We didn't quite fit in, so to speak. We didn't fit in, if you will. We were just very unique individuals. And so I had someone that was unique in his style and dress, and I was unique in my style and dress. I made a lot of my clothes and, you know, would alter the look and do the sequins. And, you know, I cut all my hair off when I think I turned 16. I chopped my big fro off and was blonde and did things. And, you know, so we just had a vibe together. And it just caught, we just kind of, you know, caught each other's vibe because we created together. That's
how old were you in this picture right here?
I was 17, 18.
How old was Fred?
The picture that Ms. Geneva just showed where we were sitting together, was that maybe my 16th birthday?
Yeah, I was Fred. Craven Robert.
He was. He had no damn business talking to me. Point, period, blank. If I knew then what I knew now. But for me at that time, it was because he danced. You see, I didn't do numbers. It wasn't about age. It's just that he danced. And we were dancers, you know, because I grew up with watching Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. You know, I loved all of those old movies. You know, I loved all of that. It was just beautiful to me. And so I just was like, okay, we're going to be like the next Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. And I really I believe that. I saw that in us then. And especially, so that was on my birthday. At my Uncle Kenny's house, who raised me. That was my 16th birthday. I remember taking that picture.
He came over. I didn't know how old he was. How old was he?
He was too old to be messing with me. That's how old he was. Okay. In numbers. That's how old his ass was. He was too old to be talking to me. That's how old he was. In numbers. But in the mind, I feel like I was more mature as far as, you know, I felt like I was more mature than he was when it came to that. But Ping was, he was older. He should have been messing with somebody else, to be honest.
I love you so much. You're so good.
I love you too, sis. You know I love you.
I know.
You know I do.
Go on. You got anything you want to say? Geneva might want to say something.
Miss Geneva.
I'm just back here. Look, Francesca is sitting up here flowing with, girl, I ain't even asked you no questions. You just flowing perfectly. Perfectly. Okay. You dropping all type of stuff. You got me back here like, what? And you said, hey, look, Francesca act like she don't want to say the age. So you know me, girl. I'm back here looking like, okay, now what year was he born? So he would be what age right now? So that means that Francesca.
Was he like maybe 23, something like that? Was 16, 17, 18, 19, 21. Yeah, he was about 23. Yeah, he was 23, 24. He was. Yeah.
So when did you give in? When did you really like start really hanging with him so y'all could dance at Soul Train? Because you had already seen him at Soul Train. Is that right?
I already had my own partners. You know, I was already dancing with my own partners at that time. And, you know, the lockers moved all around the floor at Soul Train. And, you know, they danced with a few people. It was real cliquish. you know, because I was so young. And a lot of the dancers on Soul Train, they loved that red light. They wanted to get in the camera. They were like, see me, see me, see me, see me. But I was young at that time, so that wasn't my vibe to get into the camera. That wasn't, because I know the Most High saw me. I knew my time would come. And the light is on you because the Most High sees you. You in the light. When I say live in the light, or we're in the light right now, because this is the Most High's doing. You see what I'm saying? So it's not necessary for you to, see me, see me, see me. So I'm not moved by that kind of foolishness. So when I was blessed to be in the light, it was because of my dance, because my natural ability. When you're doing the dang thing, the light comes to you. You don't have to get up in the light in that way. So Ping would be, as I said, I was on the soul side and he was on the train side with his crew. But he would always, you know, get to me and we'd eat lunch, you know, together. And I was there for the artist, I think, which is what has catapulted the depth of my artistry now. I was there focusing on the artist. After you have danced and listened to James Brown say, Maceo, hit me, Maceo, hit me, after you heard that for 4 or 5 hours, and that's all he said. Now, I was in rapture, but you have to remember a lot of the other dancers were older, so they were into the older vibe. But see, I'm young, so I'm sitting in there soaking all of this in. And they would say, oh, James Brown again. And I would be like, are you serious right now? Sis, he said the same thing over and over. And Maceo hit me, and he'd be like, nah, that one, no. But girl, when Maceo hit that note, chicken went everywhere. All of the dancers, it was like, it was just electrifying. And it just was crazy. So when you have the experience of having live music, funk, James Brown, Tower Power, Gladys Knight and the Pips, when you have Shaka coming through, you see Richard Pryor just there. When you have the experience, Ohio Players, when you have the experience and living that from 15, 16, Al Green, for my 16th birthday, Al Green sang to me for my 16th birthday. The OJs came and said happy birthday to me because they couldn't believe I was just 16. And I was like, yes, sir, and very polite. And when you have these type of experiences, of course, the Jacksons, you know, having Michael Jackson and meeting him at American Bandstand at the music thing when I danced with a dear friend of mine. And I'm just in the audience, just standing there. And then Michael Jackson's like, oh, Francesca Curtis. And I looked up, I was like, yeah. And he's like, you know, I love your dance. And when you have these personal experiences and you're acknowledged by the best, you know, I don't really vibe with Ping like that. I'm like, boy, Khadijah don't need you. My path was already foretold by my family, by my lineage. So you would have to really be coming correctly to get in my light. You'd really have to be coming correctly. So he did have to come and speak to my mother and my father. It was actually my daddy that had the crush on Ping. It was not me. My daddy loved Ping when he would dance on Soul Train before I even knew him. My father lived for when he came down the line. So it wasn't me that had the crush on him. It was my daddy, not me. So when I told my father about him, he was like, oh, yeah. So that kind of helped him. So then when my father met him, he kind of had an edge. And Ping was really sweet. So he kind of sweeped my mother and my father off their feet before he got me. I was the last.
Did you meet his parents? Did you meet Fred's parents?
I did. I did meet his mother, his brothers. I did meet his family. We did all that. He had to court me. He had to full out court me for quite some time. That's why the majority of the photographs that are inside of the Unsung Hollywood that you and I were blessed to do together are pictures from my family's home. You know, the sprawling yard outside, and you know, that's from my house where Ping, when Ping would come over and we'd take pictures outside or we're hugged up outside. He was either coming or leaving because he was touring a lot then. The lockers were on fire. So he'd call me when he was out, or what do you think we should do? Or, you know, he'd ask me for some tips, or, you know, just what did I think or my feelings. And yeah, so he had to really win over the family.
Francesca, why do you call him Ping? Because I know the people are wondering, okay, now where does Ping come from? We never heard that.
Oh, I'm sorry, because he was always Mr. Penguin. He was always Ping to me. He's Penguin. So when we were at Maverick's Flats, when we were together, they would call us Mr. and Mrs. Penguin. That was like one of our first, you know, the first expressions that people called us. So to me, he's Ping. He's Ping. Like, that's my husband. He's Ping.
Because he was shaped like a penguin? Is that why they gave him that? Because usually in the country, you give a person a name, it's for a reason. So why did they actually call him Penguin?
That was he used to imitate how he used to dance. He used to, do a move that was like that. And then when he started rocking the tam, but he would wear it in a different, and I said, no, you need to slant it to the side. He slanted his to one way. I had slanted mine the other way. So we just had a lot of commonalities. But I just know my husband as Ping. I didn't call him Fred. I can't stand that name. But I never called him. That's a dumb name. I never called him Fred. I was like, I'm not going to call you that. That don't do nothing for me. So it was Ping. That's who he was to me.
Well, okay, so you done did your year. You got to know him. How much longer after that picture right there did you marry him?
I would say probably, let me see, maybe within 2 years. Within 2 years, probably a year and a half. Yeah, yeah.
So when you met Fred, he was already touring with the lockers and dealing with the lockers. So dealing with the lockers. So how did you get along with all that, with them? And how did they come into your circle? Because you had to get to the stalker first. You got to get to him first. And then you had to meet his group. So how did that play in?
Thank you for asking me that. You know, the lockers were wonderful. They were so approachable. The lockers, Don Campbell, magic. All of them were very polite to me because they were cognizant of my age. So they would always act very respectful. All very, very kind. Don would always tell Ping to be respectful of my age, that he shouldn't expect me to do a lot of things that other people did because I was not raised that way. He could tell that about me. They were professionals. They appreciated their positions. They were not arrogant. They worked hard. But they were brokenhearted. I think this was the closest I came to. That was the first time I saw dancers really being hurt and seeing what that was like. Because Don, that was the biggest mistake that Mr. Cornelius, as I called him then, and I still refer to him as Mr. Cornelius, that he made was not acknowledging the greatness of the lockers. And they came born at Soul Train. And with his genius, his great genius, and all that he stood for and everything that he's done for us as a people, that was just a mistake, if you will, that he didn't see the greatness that they brought. So that caused a problem on the show and it broke their heart, but they continued on and traveled and, you know, they started a legacy, a dance legacy that has continued and that will never die. And that's what I said to them. I said, that's just a platform. I said, that's your platform. So, you know, use it to the fullest. So I gave them guidance that was beyond my years. And that's what they really appreciated, is that I gave them guidance and they were like, okay, she's on to something. And I would always give them some design. And when they would do some things, I would tell Ping in privacy, baby, you guys need to do this or just do some different things to kind of add some dimensions to what they did. But they worked hard. They would dance against each other. You know, we danced at dance contests in Fullerton and different places, friendly dance contests, but it was against each other to make money, like to pay bills, to pay rent. And, you know, I had never seen anything like this. You know, God bless the child, but I grew up wealthy. So when I was with Ping, he was like, okay, I'm going to teach you how to go hungry. And I was like, boy, you are crazy. We could just go to my mom's house. I could just go out in the back to the we had a apartment in the back of our huge home and we had a freezer. I said, I could go in the freezer. My mom will not miss a thing. I could grab some food and then we could just, he was like, no. I'm going to teach you how to eat potatoes all day long. And we ate hash browns in the morning. And then he said, okay, we're going to have fries in the afternoon. And then we're going to have baked potatoes at night. I was like, no, I need to go to home. I need to go get a steak. And so, you know, they did this, that, you know, the lockers, they were like that. But I was like, boy, I don't know about this kind of life. So it was magical. I got something different from all the lockers. My favorite locker, if I may say, is Slim the Robot. Slim the Robot. Slim, that is my heart. Slim raised me. Like, Slim had the most sense, I have to say. Slim is a scientist.
He's a genius.
He is a genius. Slim is the Black Einstein. People, if you want to know a robotist, a scientist, Slim, he took care. He created the sets. He did a lot of the electrical things that needed to happen. He was the mastermind behind the lockers. And wow. They counted on Slim, and bless his heart, he is the last of the lockers to still live. So the stories that I have in my heart about the lockers that remain in my heart, the most wonderful gentleman. Absolutely. So thank you for asking. Yeah.
I have to say, you guys, too, I met Slim. Slim was the type of person, he'll come and check on y'all. You'll just feed Slim. Give him some food, baby. He'll solve a puzzle. He'll fix things for you. You know it. He's just a generous-hearted person. And I respected him a lot when I was with Fred, because even when Fred was gone, he would still come by and check on me.
Yes.
You know, and look how Fran just spoke about him, you know, and he do have that nurturing, caring. If you see him right now, he got all solid white hair. He was the robot. If y'all go back and see them dancing, any lockers, look at the robot. That's the last living locker.
He is.
You know what I'm saying? We all are concerned. He's the last one.
Yes.
So I just had to know that in general. Geneva, is something else you want to ask before we go any further?
Which one? Because I tried to bring the picture up, because y'all know that I had planned on having pictures and videos, but I couldn't get any of my stuff to pop up before the interview. So which one on this picture is the one that you're talking about, Francesca? You and Essie talking about? Let me try to make it bigger.
Where is my sweetheart?
Oh, this is old girl. Okay, so the lady on here, that is the lady Essie was always talking about. Oh, Ricky, you so fine. That's her, Essie. Because don't you see the woman right there?
Yes, that is Tony Basil. That is Tony Basil.
But we don't see Tony Basil on there. I don't see the robot on that picture.
No, I don't see Slim, and I can't believe that he is not there. Now that I was there when this is for, I remember this. I was there. I think, is this not the Slit Smart Liquor Bull
commercial?
Yes. I remember telling them, say, you all need to use those stairs. They were using the flat and the stairs were just there. They were so excited to do this. They were so excited. Who is that at the bottom? Who is that? Is that not, who is that at the bottom?
I thought that was Don. I think it's Shabadoo. It's Fred. I don't know this cat right here on the, right by Don. That ain't Skeeter, is it? That ain't Skeeter Rabbit.
Man, I don't see Slim. Slim is one of a kind. And he has so much to do with the...
Is that Slim in the very back? Look at the very back, Francesca.
That is Slim up at the top.
Slim in the very back.
That's Slim at the top. Yeah. Profile and styling.
Yeah, I saw that little... Yeah, that's Slim right there.
There he is.
That's him there, y'all.
There he is. That's him at the top, holding it down.
And y'all, right now, he got a big hair of gray hair. The last time I seen him, very handsome gentleman. Like
black
she said,
Einstein. The black Einstein. Don't he look like Einstein, sis? Don't he look like a black Einstein? Yes. Like yes. A mad yes. Professor.
If they had a winner got Slim, they probably already had a cure for the coronavirus. That's
you
smart.
Already know. You already know. Absolutely.
Y'all better go find him.
We will. We're going to get him. Mm-hmm. Call me,
Francesca. Where did you and Fred get married at?
You know what? We had a gig in Vegas. We did a show in Vegas. And we were supposed to go somewhere. And so we got married. We got married in Vegas. And then we flew to the Bay Area for our honeymoon.
So was any of your family members, anybody there? It was just you and Ping, yeah, Fred.
We did the show and I was like, babe, we're just doing the show. He was like, no, we're here. We should do it. So it was he and I and some fans that stood in. And I was like, this is not very personal. This is not gonna last. This is very, I don't like this. But he said, we'll do it again. And I was like, but this is my first time to get married. I kind of wanted the bells and the whistles. And he was like, baby, we're right here. You know, let's just do it. And I was like, okay, whatever. Let's just do it then. So we did that. He said, we'll do it again and we'll do a big one. We didn't have a lot of money at that time, but he promised me when we got a lot of money that we would do a big wedding later. And I said, okay, yeah.
So after you guys got married in Vegas, were y'all still dancing with Soul Train? How did that work that y'all departed from Soul Train up in there?
We did. We came back and we still danced on the show, but people didn't know we were married at the time. But we were. We were married. We didn't change too much of the dynamics because, you know, I was very private. I just am still a very private person, which, you know, a private public figure, if you will. Because in LA, there's so much talk, there's so much chatter, there's so much. And so I like there's Slim. Where did he look? There he is. There he is with that. There he is, the mad scientist. So it was important to me for us to hold on to that we had something together, he and I. And then after I think maybe a few months, we announced that we had gotten married. Yes.
So when you met Fred, you were in California. He had just got to California. Y'all met in California though, correct?
We met on the show. Yeah, he had been there. We met on the show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after you guys got married and you did your life thing and you were dancing and traveling, was there any type of conflict that like Fred didn't want to be with the Lockers? How did that go? Like, was there like, did y'all just separate from with that? Or how long did he dance with the Lockers after he married you?
He was with the Locker for years, for a long time. It was a long time a couple of years. Like Shab used to come over. Shab was still trying to get in the lockers, as a matter of fact. He wasn't quite in. He wanted to be in, but Shab was still just very arrogant and full of dance and full of everything and wanting to see his way in. So he used to come to the house and hang out. Shab was on the couch all the time. The story I could tell about Shabadoo. So it was quite some time before it was the best of times before Holly Weird came into the picture. And that's when everything turned. But when we were just us and doing the lockers and the lockers having gigs and the discipline of the travel and no love making, no nothing during performances or preparation, there was a discipline that everyone stuck to. They were serious about it. Everything was good. Life was good.
So but you never had no conflict with none of the lockers, not one of them, nobody, everybody's good, not a one.
You know, they had but Tony, and I love Tony Basil, I appreciate her and respect her, her dance, but she was not there all the time. Tony was doing her things. You know, she had branched off and Bette Midler, and when Tony was doing her thing and finding her way, she would do some things, but the lockers were holding their own. And sometimes they would have gigs on the same day, a couple of gigs. So half of the lockers would go here and half of the lockers would be over there, you know, at another gig. So everything was fine. There was a lot of harmony within the brotherhood. They loved what they did. They lived for it. So it was good. It really was good.
Francesca, mm-hmm. I want to ask you about something that you said earlier. Earlier, you made a mention about basically that you came from a good family, you know, your mom, your dad, like came from a good family. And you said that you knew Fred's family. So do you feel like that Fred came from a good family? He had a good family structure, his mom, his dad, his siblings, or what did you think about his family when you met them?
His family was extremely different from my family. If I may say, let's say there was an envy, if you will, with his family, with my family. There was an envy. I don't know if it was the love that we had or the chemistry or the cohesiveness within my family that bothered his family. Am I saying what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it was problematic, but you know, my mom is real grounded. She ignored it. It pissed me off. But my mom was like, babe, I'm not tripping. Don't trip. Da 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 da. But it upset Ping. It upset him because he was sensitive to that. And he adored my family. So he was drawn not just to me, but he was drawn to my family, to the environment with my family. So I didn't know that when he would come to the house and want to hang out, that he was coming to, you know, to be with my dad and to be with us. But now that I look back at it, he also appreciated, you know, coming to our big house and just being there. And we were all together and, you know, full of love. And I'm sure that he appreciated that very much. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess my next question would be, you said that everything was fine at first, you know, his personality was cool because he hadn't became a celebrity yet. You said he hadn't gotten to Holly Weird. So what would you say happened once he got into Holly Weird? Like, how did his personality change? And when did it start changing? Was this around What's Happening time? Or like, where was he at in his career when you started noticing a change?
I would say at the inception of the show, and he had a hard time because he didn't quite, I don't want to say he didn't fit with the lockers, because he did. He stood out. So we would always rework the choreography that he did and strive to find new ways for him to stand out so that he just wasn't doing the same thing. I cannot explain to you how much we danced, he and I, together. The majority of our relationship, he and I, we danced day and night at the house. And Shab would come over because we were always dancing, always. I mean, people would probably think we were weird because we were always dancing. The only time we would stop is when he'd jump on my furniture. And I'd say, boy, get off my furniture. Are you crazy? But he was using it for the buoyancy to try something. But we would dance, like, it's crazy how much we danced. But that's where he would discover new moves or new things. And I would share things with him because that's what I dance professionally. So the growth in the dance, and plus it kept him at a particular size that he liked to be. He liked to be like a 36. When Ping was a 36, he was really happy. But if he got up to a 40, then he was uncomfortable. You know, he couldn't move as easily as he liked to. But when he was a 36, then he was good. So he was good. But once the show came, that's when the distance with the lockers started to happen. Not to say that they thought they were better, or let's just say it could be a possibility that he felt less than inferior, you know, in some ways. Perhaps it was something with him because they were tall and he was, you know, shorter. And so he had some insecurities, if I may say. He had some self insecurities. But because of the dance that we did together that brought him out as an individual performer, it enhanced his persona, if you will. It enhanced him and he felt better. But then when the show came and all of the lockers also, they also read for the part as well. And Ping was the last to read the next day, because he was at home and we talked about it and he got really discouraged. Are you speaking to me, Goddess? I can't hear you if you are. Oh, okay. He got really discouraged when all of them didn't make it. And I said, babe, you know, you're not the lockers. You're not them. You're you. And you bring something very different and unique. So just because they didn't make it, they weren't chosen, don't let that reflect you. That was yesterday. This is today. And you need to go. I remember that conversation like it was yesterday.
So you're saying that all the lockers tried out for what's happening? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they read for the part.
Really?
They read for the part. Yeah. I think they had a gig or something in the city, but Ping was, he was still out at the house. And they read, but they weren't selected. If not all of them, the majority of them, because I was out at home with Ping and he said, well, you know, the guys, they read, you know, he just told me all the guys read, you know, so I wasn't there, but he said all the guys read and they weren't chosen. So they were kind of down because, of course, they were hoping, you know, if one of us gets in, then we feel like all of us got in, I'm gonna get you in. Or, you know, how you feel like you want to get your boys in, but they didn't get chosen.
I never knew that. You just so you guys know, when she's talking about they did the reading and they went to what's happening, Rerun character is supposed to be a skinny white boy. So when Fred knew he was finna try out for just that and it was supposed to be script typed as a white boy, Did he have any conflict with that because of his weight? Did he feel any kind of way? He was like, yeah, I'm just going to do it.
He did feel like that. But I told him, I said, it doesn't matter what they think they want. I often feel, if I may say, I just have to say what I feel. I feel, I won't say Europeans, but I feel that when artists, those who are creating art, you have a vision or you think you have the vision, but what happens is when someone with a gift comes that has the light on them, but you think you know what you want until you see something different. And then when you see something different and unique, it can sway you into wanting something different from what you thought you wanted. So I always told Ping that. I said, people don't know what they want. They think they know what they want until they see something different. And then when they see something different, they will choose that. But you have to give them an opportunity to see you. I believe that. I feel when I go somewhere, if I do work, or they may have wanted something else, but when they see me and they see my work, they will honor what I'm bringing to the table and say, this is unique. This is very different. I thought that I would want that, but what you're doing is different. It's something new and I like it. And so you cannot just go and not do something. No one can not do something and pursue your dream, your vision, your gift, because somebody thinks they want something. Because that's not how spirit works. You have to move forth and know that you are what they want. And so that is what I shared. That is what I shared with him. And I've lived all over the world. Been blessed to live in Egypt, in Australia, cultural ambassadress to Dakar, Senegal. I'm blessed to have family there. Shout out to my family in Dakar and Senegal. I miss you so much. That is where my peace is in Senegal. I suffer from drapetomania when I'm here in the United Snakes of America, KKKA. Yes, I said it. I have to get out of here. And when I go home, I rest my spirit. But when I'm here, I strive to continue to elevate, to create, to honor who's in whose I am, and the greatness that we are and continue to be. And with that said, we can never not be who's and whose we are, and the best of who's and whose we are. And we're going to be in the face. I'm going to be in your face. And this is what it is. And you're going to get with this. You're going to get with this. So that's my feeling, if I may say.
I love the way you express yourself. I love the way you are so real and Afrocentric of what you say and how you say it. I'm just like you speak to the point. I'm getting teary. I don't even know why I'm gonna cry, you know? So yeah, so I have to say that. And so many people, if y'all were ladies for sure are watching, this was the backbone behind Fred Rewanberry. This was the backbone behind the man with the red beret. This was the peace and the light that he saw. And after that, I don't know what happened. We're going to get to that later. But yeah, had some apps, some stuff with in between there that wasn't right, y'all. Because after he left this, she said something the other night on the phone. And I want to ask you. So, was Fred romantic? Did he cook for you? Did he, like, what did he do for you? I just, like, was he a good man around the house? Tell me what he did.
Let me take this pineapple juice. let me tell you. Mm-hmm. My husband raised me in the way that a lot of who and whose I am is because of my husband. Ping was so romantic and would.
What? Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Look, shut up, Heffa. Shut
up. Okay. What the hell? What you say? Okay, I'm sorry. What?
Sis, our husband, was extremely romantic. We would, like, let's say Billy Preston was one of our favorite artists. We would listen to wonderful music together. We sang together. Ping had a beautiful voice. He would speak the future into fruition. He'd say, you know, we don't have a lot of money now, but I promise you. You know, he knew where I came from. He knew I came. He knew I had everything. And I said, now you have me here. I was like, I really want to go home now. This is nice, but being poor, I don't like it. I want to go back home and where I had everything. And he promised me, he said, this is just for a short amount of time, but we danced. So on the dance vibe, it was rich. And he'd catch me when I would just start getting homesick and he'd say, babe, you know, this is, and he'd tell me stories of what we would do and we'd go here and we'd go there. And a lot of what he said, it happened. It happened while we were eating the French fries. And he'd tell me these stories. Or when he'd run my bubble bath for me and he'd talk to me while I was in the bubble bath and asked me, what did I want to do? Where did I want to go? Did I want to dance all of my life? Did I want to remain on toe in ballet shoes? He supported me in all of the levels of my dance. He was my rock. He promised me that he would take me shopping in New York. And that he would take me shopping till I couldn't try on clothes anymore. And I was like, that it will never happen. I will be able to change clothes forever. And I remember having on, leggings and having on a leotard and just some regular drawstring pants. And Ping took me to New York. We stayed in a beautiful hotel. He called a limo. He took me shopping till I couldn't take my clothes off anymore. Till I just said, okay, babe, I'm done. And he laughed. He said, are you sure you can't shop anymore? I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. The dreams that he promised me, they happened, sis. This is our husband. They happen. He was a very sweet person in his heart before the corruption of Hollywood. He was a very sincere person before he started believing the hype because so many people kept telling him, you know, you are this, you are that. And I kept saying, boy, you are 5'5", 5 feet tall, please do not believe the hype, babe. I'm begging you, because I could see him slipping. I could see him slipping and I was losing my best friend. I was losing my best friend, my bestie. But when you have so many people hollering and saying this to you, and you had a hard life growing up, a difficult time growing up, and to have that kind of experience. I was raised with that kind of life. But to not have that kind of identity, and had it not been for Don Campbell, I remember him telling me, had it not been for Don, I don't know what would have happened to Ping. But it was Don that rescued him first. And then he said, then I rescued him. But then that's why I left home. You know, I'm from LA. I had so much going on. But there's just a particular beast, if you will, that I was simply not willing to pay. There's a cost to be had. I was not willing to pay that price after seeing so many stars, celebrities, lose their way. And he could not help himself after a certain time. And once you sell your soul, if you will, you cannot turn back. You can't, because once you are a character and they give you this name, a slave name, and people are calling you this name everywhere you go, he didn't want to be that character. The only time he felt that he wasn't that character is when we were together, because I called him Ping, because we would be together and I treated him as Ping because he was my husband. He'd come home from the show. You have to take out the trash. You have to do this. You have to do that. But you have to have a strong, strong, strong constitution, and you have to be around people that truly love you to not allow yourself for that to happen. When I left, I didn't say, oh, I'm leaving to everyone. I got my ish and I left because I wanted to have, I left at the top of the game. I said, I don't need this. I'm leaving. I want to have friends. I want to have friends, like my name, friends. Friends that really love me, that when I'm wrong, it's two left shoes. They will go, Franny, that's not cool, such and such and such. You know, so when I left and moved to the Bay Area, I did not tell people who I was. You know, they didn't know who I was. A lot of my friends, the few that I have, I can count them on one hand still, that are my true friends. I just did what I did and started, and they didn't find out really who I was until Unsung Hollywood came on. And I had danced, you know, for years in the Bay Area. Okay, Oakland in the house. Oh. Oakland with my girls in the Bay Area, and my bestie Yori and Shetty Coco Margot. Like, I had some girls, and they're still my besties. And you know, they knew, but I had not said, and they were like, we knew it was something different about you. But I said, I'm just me. They said, why didn't you tell us who you are? I'm like, but you know who I am. They're like, no, Franny, you didn't tell us. You didn't tell us. I said, but I'm me. I wanted you to love me for just me. That was just one of my lives. What am I in my fifth life now? That was just one of my lives. But I wanted to be loved for me. Exactly. Not for the foolishness. And so what I suffered through with him has shaped me and has left me being more private than I would really like to be. I have family on Facebook that I really love, but I don't reach out a lot like that because of things that I have gone through with peeing and just in the industry. Because I study a lot, because I have retaught myself from the education that we got that was not whole. So I'm constantly studying. I'm constantly with spirit and being still to receive a higher way to elevate our peoples. And I miss everyone. I do in my heart. And like the way that you and I are. I love you so much. And it saddens me to see sisters calling each other on the television. B's and H's behind brothers. You understand? When here we are, you and I, from the first time we spoke, from the first time you and I spoke, just hearing your voice and how you reached out to me. And I said, sis, I love you, because we just have that her story together, what you and I know to be fact. And I hadn't had that. And I have been by myself for so long with this truth, because I didn't want to tell people what this brother did, how he hurt me, what he did, because I didn't want to be one to ruin any brother's life, because I knew his destiny. He would do it on his own. But that was difficult. And then here you came with being so sapphire and so fly and so beautiful and just out there. And I was like, I wish I could be like my sister, because she's just so boss, you know? And I love you so much for coming for me. And, you know, you complete me and I love you. And this is why I did this. You give me strength, you give me courage. And you mean so much to me. And so this was a cathartic experience, you know, so I trust you, and I don't trust easy. I need you to know that. And I cannot find my voice and speak my truth if I feel there is danger, or if I'm speaking to someone who is not authentic and who is not my sis star. And you are my Shetty Coco. You are my heart. And I love you so much. I love you so much. And I thank you for this opportunity to share my truth with my reflection, with my sister. And I pray that we have an opportunity to do it again. Yes?
Yes.
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 I'm hugging you now, beauty. Don't cry. Don't cry. I know.
They're going to give me a minute. Yeah.
I know. They have no idea.
No, they don't. Listen, you guys, I did not know it was going to go this way. Just as there's so much good, there's a lot of hurt, but we're not going to get into it right now. I'm a prayer sister, no matter what y'all guys have seen through the years. I heard so many of Fred's stories, but as an activist and a woman and a mother, it had to make sense to me, and it didn't. So when I went to go find all the women that supposedly had been in Fred's life, the only one that really registered to me was Francesca. See, what I noticed that, like, when you're in the celebrity world, you got one woman, then you ditch her, you got another one, but everybody be left behind. And I felt like I would be less of a woman to know that this queen, like, embody Fred and embrace Fred and gave him the good parts of him, because there was a hell of a lot of good parts, but there were some rough patches too. And I just felt like this was the time to like release, because so many times it's celebrity wise for sure. Our voice get through back somewhere, and as soon as that person says something, yes, everything else is done. Yes, your mouth don't matter, your face don't matter, your voice don't matter. It doesn't even matter what you say, because if this brother is in the limelight, then our faces just go away. So yet it may took 19 years later from this man passing for us to get right here where I am right now. But gosh, I am so grateful, and I am so honored to have met you, Francesca, to know you. Got all boo high, and everybody gonna think I'm a punk up here on this thing. You know what I'm saying? But so many things you said was touching, but we shared that same vibe. And I can truly say, out of his wives, you know, wives, that this woman loved him. In between there, if you come for me, don't, because I'm going to keep it real. Y'all know y'all didn't care for this man. It was just a whole lot of other stuff going on in between there, scallywags and everything else. But yes, now I know the truth. And straight up, let me keep it 100. Fred told me he loved Francesca. He allowed me to know that she was the one that paid his way. But then you got all these other chicks want to say you bury what? Barry, just because you carry that name, you could carry a title, but she represented all for herself. She represented the queen. She represented Fred. You could see it in her spirit. I see people talking how beautiful your energy is. So that's why you let us know I love you. Is this rare for our Black culture? It may be rare, but no realness when you see it. No history in the making when you see it. And you guys, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know what we were talking about, because it's going to get real deep. And you guys may not look at certain things the same anymore, but it doesn't matter. But what you have to realize in the back of your mind, for every woman for sure that watches this, this woman took over 30 years or more to even open her mouth about Fred. And keep it 100. In 2014, when I came with Francesca and we did Unsung, I wasn't finna do nothing. I said, I ain't signing nothing. I don't care. Y'all ought to go do it. They couldn't do it without me. They couldn't do it without us. They could not do Unsung without us, because we knew who Fred was. Right. Francesca say, sis, honey, just do this for... She didn't have to go that far. When she said, do this, I said, okay, send the paper. That's what her spirit did to me, because I didn't have to jump on the mic like that. And let me put something else out there. My name, last name was Alexander before I married Fred. Yet I carried his last name, you know, and I recognize that. I just feel like Francesca was a true person that paved the way for Fred, and he lost his way some kind of way. And then here we are today, mending what was lost. I cannot change what has happened in the past to this sister, but I can create where I feel like that she was not done right, or she was not. Let me find out when her and Fred divorced. If Fred didn't give her something, she can get it. It's hers. It's what it is. That's some real stuff for you guys. I can't take nothing that was not already mine, but I can give back what I knew should have been done before this time. I can change it now. I couldn't change it then, but I can't damn sure change it now.
All right now. Okay. Essie, were you finna say something else, Miss Barry?
I'm just hugging you now, sis. I love you so much. We did it, and I love you. We'll do it again. Hug yourself for me. Thank you, Miss Geneva.
Well, I do want to say thank you so much, Francesca. You did an amazing job. You gave us a lot of information that we had absolutely no idea about, as far as you and Fred. I mean, this was really good, and I would really love to have you back on, not only so you can go on and express yourself more and let out even more of what you feel like that you would like to say, but because I noticed when you were talking, you kept throwing out a few little words, and I wrote them down because I'm like, I would love to have Francesca back on here to ask her, why do she say these things and where do these words come from? She said, tell my vision. But we knew she was talking about television, but she said, tell that vision. I caught that. I wrote it down. She said, sis star. But we know she's talking about sister. I was like, oh, that's cute. I like that. Sister. And tell live vision, because they do be lying on that. They do be lying. But she throw out other words, and I would like to know where that come from. We ain't even got into the African dance because, like I said, my plan was to have pictures and videos showing why the ladies were talking. And one of the pictures I had was something that Francesca had on her Facebook page, which was like a flyer of her doing African dance, but it was like described as exercise. And I was just talking to Essie about that. I was like, wouldn't that be fabulous if at whatever time, like whenever Francesca feel like it, if she can show us some of them African dances where it feels like exercise and it helps us to lose weight or whatever. Like, I don't even know. But I'm just very interested in hearing about those things, Francesca.
Speak about the feminine essence. We will speak about the feminine essence. And staying beautiful and getting beautiful and exercising, but it's not exercising. Yes, absolutely. You got it.
And I'm looking forward to that. I'm definitely looking forward to that. So yeah, this was a really good interview. I enjoyed having you on. You and Miss Essie Berry saying how y'all talk and stuff. It's lovely. Just, I mean, because who knows wives that are still talking to the ex-wives with a whatever, and y'all are just cool and talking and expressing. So I just think it's absolutely beautiful for everyone to be able to experience this on the screen today. Lovely people, lovely. But thank you so much, Francesca. The plan is to contact you really soon to see about possibly doing a part two. People, we will let you know.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Essie, anything else you want to say before Francesca leaves?
I just want to say I love you both for having me on, Geneva, Francesca. Yes. I didn't know I was going to get that emotional. We share things that no one else could. Y'all know. See, now y'all done bought the wimp out of me. I feel like just running a room behind my face. You know what I'm saying? I'll be all this might be wolfing. I just want to run it like that. You know, but that's a part of it. Smiling, crying. Yes, it is. Francesca, everything that you share with me, Fred had already told me a lot of it, and he told me so much more, but I'm going to be here to let the people know that is the truth, what our husband told me about you. And for me as a woman to want to listen, I had to know where that part of him came from. And they don't even know. It's so much more through the lockers, through what's happening, through you and Fred. Y'all, there's so much more that you guys are going to find out. But I just wanted you guys to know where the original Miss Berry, the original Miss Francesca, 100% beyond a shadow of doubt. I can hold that weight as a widow. And let me tell y'all something before I get off. Fred died one day before my birthday. We married October the 22nd, 1989, on my birthday. He died October the 21st, so I could be his widow. God knew that me and Francesca was going to be here today and set this back straight the way it should have been.
That's 20
right. Years ago. So what you don't do then, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now yes, this is first, and I need to hear everything that she has to say. The woman who paved the way for this man that we all admire today, point blank and simple. And remember one thing, you guys. After doing this interview, and we're going to do more parts to it, you only got to understand one thing. Rerun, as she say, a slave name. Rerun, he legally got his name changed to that. That was a character. That's where y'all get it messed up when you see a person on TV. That's a character. Fred Berry was a real, Fred Allen Berry was a real live person.
That's right.
You're going to have to be able to separate the two when you guys get through hearing the rest of Francesca's story and what she had to say. And I'm going to collaborate a lot of it, because what I can say is I was her and she was me.
Yes,
so now we have the voice to be able to bring it out and don't hide. And let me say one other thing. I understand why Francesca remains silent, because so many times we want to protect our man, protect our reputation, but protect their reputation. And in the midst of that, somewhere we go broken and we be alone because we cannot express who we are as individuals, because this man or this person has already painted a picture. That's a picture being painted. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. So y'all, it's going to get more juicy than it got tonight, but I love you guys again. I thank you guys. Much love to everybody in the box for sharing with Francesca. I see so many people saying how her energy is. Y'all, that's why I love her. Her energy vibrates through this. And once we get through all this, maybe we can do some classes where we all got Francesca on here. She's showing us how to do a little bit. We ain't got to have the pole. We can swing without the pole, but just let us know what to do a little bit. You know, I'm going to be looking at how to do any of that. And again, Francesca, you are light. And you are a force.
Thank you,
and people need to know that you choreographed a lot of the locker things and where they came from, how they are. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. But I have to know your essence, your feminine essence, it's light in Thank and out. You say what I'm saying? And no, I don't forever go away, beautiful. I want some of Thank it. I need some of it. I got some of it. Like, not for the running here, look like a wimp. I'm done.
Love you, sis. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you too, Francesca. You have a fabulous evening. We'll be talking to you soon.
I will do so. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye. Miss Barry, you leaving, girl? Are you leaving? You staying? You're leaving, you're staying.
I cried so much. My face all wrinkled. My eyes.
Oh, that was so beautiful. Seeing you ladies on here just first of all, Francesca, I'm you know, she is like telling like it is. I like that. You know, I like for people to speak their truth and tell it like it is. And then the funny thing about Francesca is that when we talk to her, we're going to get off of here soon because we're not going to drag this interview out because this was an interview. We're not going to drag it out. But when we talk, but when I talked to Francesca yesterday, you know, she made it seem as if she was going to need some guidance through this interview. She didn't need no guidance. The woman got on here and started telling her story, and I likes that. I ain't going to say nothing too much. She just threw it out there for the people and then was telling some tea and stuff and started off saying Ping. I'm like, Ping? Who is Ping? Because I didn't even know he was called Ping when, you know, like I'm a little bit younger, you know, so I got to get the. But yeah, that was a really good interview. And you two ladies looked, collabed good together, talked well together. The love just seems beautiful. And we can all appreciate that. That was lovely. That was very lovely.
Geneva, you just rock. You are phenomenal. You keep that vibe flowing on. Me and Francesca both love you to death. I just want people to really be enlightened now because this is three different generations of women. You understand what I'm saying? And holding down. And if we can't, even if we get through this whole thing with Fred Berry and what me and Francesca got to say and we do all of this, I think she can bring so much importance and awareness to us as sisters, how to treat each other, how to love each other, how to not look so much negative, keep that positive energy. And that's why I connected so well. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the type of sister to go kick it with somebody who I done been with. I just ain't doing that. This man passed away in my life. I never had a husband pass away, and she did too. We were able to come back together as one and make some beautiful things happen. And me, her, and Geneva behind closed doors are doing some very positive things that take this a lot further. So you guys can see more and hear more and know more about what's going on. And again, much love to you guys. God bless you guys. Can't wait for part two. I got to go right now because I feel real mushy. You know what I'm saying? I got to like clear my system now and go relax. I love you guys. What?
All right, girl, then go ahead, get your whole cleanse on. I'll be talking to you soon anyway, girl. Thank you for joining us today. We absolutely love you, Miss Berry. You have a fabulous rest of your Thursday, girl.
Thank you. I'll take care, guys. I'll read Thomas later and Martin later. God bless.
Bye. Oh, wow, that was fabulous. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. So I'm about to get up off of here, people, because that was a fabulous, wonderful, fantastic, let me turn my volume down some, interview. And again, before I get off of here, stay tuned for part two. When is it coming? I don't know. That's why you got to be subscribed and hit that notification button. If it comes up, you know how the notifications be. Whatever. But just make sure that you subscribe because then you can see when I'm posting that we're going to do part two. And get into, because I heard Francesca when she said what this brother did to me. I said, it's another positive story we didn't get into that we're going to have to get into. But again, I want to tell you that this video is sponsored by the Black Author. She's a black lady. She's a black woman. Support your black authors, black business owners. Just support authors. period. But I'm just letting you know this is a black, lovely, beautiful woman. Yolanda Adams, she is the author of Twisted Tales of the Heart, $9.99 paperback, people on Amazon, $1.99 ebook, Dirty Diana, The Mistress Files, Dirty Diana, $12.99 on Amazon, $2.99 ebook. The paperback, because you know I like paperbacks. I don't want no ebook. I'm just letting you know. Canavan Whispers in the Midnight Snow. This one, Canavan Whispers in the Midnight Snow, part two of Preston's story. Ooh, Preston. Is this the book that I was reading that got some tee-hee-hee in it? I don't even know. One of these books got some tee-hee-hee. This book is $12.99 paperback, $2.99 ebook on Amazon. Don't worry about it, people. I'm going to put the links down now because there's some... Anyway, next week, I'm going to get into one of these books and read just a little bit of it so you can see that this is some juicy stuff. I ain't never read no book like this. Now, I done read some juicy books, but it didn't have this type of juice in it. But anyway, people, thank you for joining me here on Geneva's Closet. Stay tuned for part two or whatever else Geneva's going to bring to you in Geneva's Closet. And thank you to all the people who had something to say in the chat. I appreciate you. And to all the people that was in the background, you didn't necessarily say anything, but you definitely sat and watched. That's all right. You really didn't have to come in the comment section and say anything. But before I get off of here, and later on, could you please like and share this video and subscribe to Geneva's Closet if you haven't already done so right here on YouTube. And you can follow me on Facebook at what? At Geneva's Closet. And you can email me, just in case you didn't know, at geneva'scloset22@gmail.com. You all have a fabulous evening and weekend because it's coming up tomorrow, people. I will talk to you later. Bye. Have a fabulous evening, people. Bye. Thank you for joining.